Good, it's recording. Okay, minimize this window. Hello everyone, it's Danny Hay here for the SLA Euro podcast. Today I've got a very special guest for all of us. It's Geraldine, she's back. Hey Geraldine, how are you?
I'm very well, hi Denny. It's my pleasure to be back chatting to you and to all our listeners.
Today we thought about doing a very special episode. Rather than interviewing a person about a topic, we wanted to talk about a topic that's very close to Geraldine and mine's heart, which is SLA, and specifically SLA Europe. So we know that the podcast is being listened to by SLA Europe members, but also a lot of non-members. So we wanted to dive into why we have joined SLA and SLA Europe in particular, and what it brings to us. So, Geraldine, what brought you to SLA Europe?
I have to say that initially, I probably joined more by luck rather than by device. And I think it's often how a lot of our members join the association. My boss at the time, who is a lady called Chris Kinghorn, had been a long-standing member of SLA and was actively involved. And basically, the day I started working for her, she said, you'll join SLA, the firm will pay for you, it's good for you, so you'll come along.
Okay.
And she sort of encouraged me to go along to sort of face-to-face meeting in London, and initially was a bit doubtful because I was quite junior, no one really wanted to speak to me, but then I stuck with it. More and more I got to meet new people, and eventually got asked to be more actively involved. I brought little bits for their newsletter and eventually ended up on the board and kind of got hooked, really.
Yeah, for me it was a little bit different because when I started working in 1996, there were Dutch library associations, but those were mostly on a country specific local level, and the company I was working for is pretty much, you know, globally focused and was pretty much, you know, had a US focus. So I remember just going on the web and finding out about this organization called SLA, and I got, you know, a lot of excited emails from like peers in different organizations. I thought, you know, let's give this a try, and I think I've never looked back. And so when you were quite junior, you mentioned that you found it hard to get started. So what was the first thing that was your first SLA experience that you helped the association?
I think my first involvement was beyond just turning up to the meetings was when I was asked to write a summary for the newsletter about one of those meetings. It was something that I'd never done before, but at the same time, it was quite attractive because I thought, well, I'll get my name on a publication.
Always good. Yeah, yeah.
Also made me kind of attend the event in a different way because I knew that I was going to have to summarise all the thoughts and discussions that were taking place. Mm-hmm. So good experience all around, and also kind of started raising my visibility within the chapter, which meant that the next event, people started saying, oh, you're Geraldine, the one who wrote the summary.
Yep.
And I also found that once you know someone, that someone will introduce you either virtually or face-to-face to someone else who will introduce you to someone else. And I think there's almost this culture of the network that you know that your connections can become someone else's connections. And once you've introduced them to someone new, you haven't lost anything. They're still your colleague, your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are really willing to try to sort of spend the time to make the introductions and make sure that you know all the relevant people or share.
Yep.
You know, if you've got like have had instances, for example, I changed sector a couple of years ago and changed job, and I was moving into a completely different sector. But I had this pool of people who I knew were working in sort of health-related area who suddenly, you know, I asked them for their experience and a bit of feedback and, you know, tips for the interview, things to think about. But then through them, I accessed their network of people and found that everyone's really open to answer questions and give me some good ideas. And, well, it all worked out because I did get the job in the end, and found that really, really positive.
Yeah, I've got the same experience that even if people you've never met, only virtually met, that they're like, oh, you're like one of us. We're going to help you out. I think it's part of our profession, but especially if you belong to an association like SLA. I remember, you know, looking people up in the membership directory because I had a question about a certain, you know, vendor that we were considering, and people were always very, very open to share their experiences or even set up a phone call to discuss questions that I have. And I think that's something you put your toe into the water and just gets, you know, the circles just get bigger and bigger, and you meet more people. And I remember a couple of years ago we had to do a tender, and my manager was not really sure, you know, are we asking the right questions? So I told him, you know, do you want me to ask my peers? He said, well, can you find out about that? I said, sure. You know, a few phone calls later, I could write back, you know, this company did this company did that. And he was just so amazed that I could just reach out to people, you know, across the world and different sectors to get those experiences. So you've talked about that you wrote articles for the newsletter. So were there other things, other skills that you've been able to learn through SLA?
Since I've become an active member of the SLA Europe board, I've certainly developed a whole range of new skills, I think, because I was fortunate enough to get involved in like event organisation, and having to take, you know, leadership on an idea about an event, trying to arrange for the speakers, then trying to arrange for registration, finding a venue, booking the venue, organising catering. I mean, all things that I've never done in my job. I mean, I'm not an event organiser in my day job. But then those things really helped me with my sort of more general project management skills, because you have to sort of plan everything, make sure you've not forgotten anything, but also you can't do it all yourself. So you have to sort of get a team around you and enthuse them about the project so that they will help you and they will take on different bits of the task and make sure that it all sort of wraps up properly at the end. And it's always nerve-wracking. You get all the way to the evening where you just think, oh my God, what will happen if no one turns up? Or, you know, I gave them the wrong address, or one of the speakers not going to turn up, or it's going to be a flop. And then by the end of the evening, when everyone's sort of had a drink, had enjoyed themselves, lots of discussions, it's such a great boost, because and then you just feel ready to start again for the next one.
Yeah, done this once. Okay, I've got this covered. And what did that type of experience teach you when you went back to work? Because I'm sure probably at work you don't organize a lot of conferences.
No, but I think one of the main points for me is that when you work within a volunteer sort of organisation like SLA and SLA Europe, you have no hierarchy. There is no recourse to, I'm your boss, therefore you're going to do this. Not that, you know, this is the sort of attitude that I would normally have at work. I'm someone who really needs to sort of sell my idea, and I want my team around me to feel really excited about what we're going to achieve.
Yep.
And I think by working with volunteers, you have no choice. You have to present your projects, make them understand what you think you're trying to aim for, and try to make them enthusiastic about and support you, because everyone's there giving their time of their own accord, and investing, you know, their free time to make these things happen. And I think that's a really good skill, because then you go back to the workplace and you move away from the sort of a hierarchical management and go into sort of having a more positive, enthusiastic, but also learning to sell your concept, sell your ideas, because people need to be convinced that's the right way to go.
Yeah, and I think getting people excited is maybe even harder than at work, where, you know, you ask a department for budget or resources, which is like a little impersonal. But if you ask people to volunteer for something, you know, that's the most cherished thing they can give away, their time and effort, and often even their, you know, their image, because if they're participating in something, it means that they are endorsing it. And I like how that style is now, you know, increasing more in the workplace, that you have to get people excited about things, that you have to sell them your idea, and then, you know, work with them rather than, you know, giving out work orders, which is, you know, not the the way of the 21st century. When I would be a student, up and coming, what will you tell me why it's relevant that I join SLA?
That's an interesting question. We try to encourage the new sort of upcoming generation of information professionals to join the association through our early career conference awards and giving them a very early on an exposure of the whole sort of the full size of what SLA is, because I think going to the annual conference is such a life-changing experience, and I'm not joking about that. I mean, my first conference, I came back, but I was sort of baffled, bedazzled, you know, all the adjectives that you can possibly use, but also so. And it was, I guess it was a particular time of my life as well, where I was thinking, have I chosen the right career? Mm. And I came back and I said, I've got the best job in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's that feeling that we're trying to transfer and share with the new generation. But I think in some ways, the reason that, I mean, I'm not that old, but I've been a member for 13 years, and the reason that brought me to SLA and valuing the network we had and the way we had to communicate with each other through the distribution lists and so on, in some ways have been surpassed by the, you know, the Twitter, the Facebook, the LinkedIn discussion. So I think information professionals nowadays have got different ways of communicating with each other. But what we found as well in a few examples recently is that people are getting to know other members through Twitter first, mm-hmm. or through other form of social media, or reading their blogs, and they kind of think, oh, these guys look quite cool. I want to know them, and therefore they'll join because they're kind of thinking, oh, what they're doing is good, and I want to be part of that.
Yep.
So social media, although it can replace the association, it's also a good way for people to get to know members and then kind of think, they're all member of SLA, maybe I should be a member of SLA.
Yeah, and I think it's also a, how do you put that, like almost a must-do, that if you consider yourself a professional, that if your manager asks you, well, how do you know that you're, that you find best practices, that you find peers, that you can tell them, well, I belong to a professional body. Doesn't matter really what that is, but that you're not just relying on, you know, whatever passes through your desk, that that you belong to an association. Okay, and you know, just to wrap this thing up for people, SLA Europe, what, you know, how many countries, how many members, events? Could you just give us a promotion,
a sort of snapshot?
Yes.
SLA Europe, it's about 280 members.
Yeah.
Across, I think, 18 different countries and around about 16 different sectors. And the sectors really are very broad ranging, from sort of university and research to publishers, to banking and finance, pharma, government, legal, engineering,
mm-hmm.
oil and gas, like you,
yep.
Insurance, and I think that's, for me, that's one of the greatest benefits, is that I'm amongst a group of like-minded people whom I can have, you know, we speak the same language, and therefore I can have a really in-depth conversation. But then we're different enough that everyone brings a different perspective to that conversation. And that's one of the things I really value.
Yeah.
And in terms of events, I mean, it's true that quite a large proportion of the membership is based in the UK. Uh-huh. And that we have quite a lot of events around London. We've tried this year to have events outside London as well. And we're really keen to organise more gathering, small scale, big scale, in sort of across Europe. But for that, we need support on the ground, because you can't really organise, you know, even if it's just meeting for a drink after work, which again may be a very British cultural thing to do. I don't know. It's difficult to organise that for someone at a distance. You need to know a good venue, yep. to meet. You need to have someone who's, you know, really going to be there and be the one sort of having the, I don't know, the carnation on their buttonholes to make sure everyone can recognise it's them. And I'm really hopeful that over the next few months or the next few years, we can get more people to meet face to face within their own region, but also to use technology to help people meet virtually across Europe and share their experience across our own area, really.
Good. I think that increasing virtual is a new opportunity, because even though you are in London, I am in the Netherlands, we still can get together, and if someone had an event in Germany, we could attend virtually or present virtually. So that will, I think, bring us to a next step in the SLA Europe journey. Okay, Geraldine, I think I want to wrap up the podcast for today. So I want to thank you for participating.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, and for everyone who is not a member of SLA Europe, if you are interested after this podcast and you'd like to go more, the website is www.sla-europe.org. You can find the blog, you can find the board with the pictures, you can find summaries of events. If you'd like to know more, just feel free to get in touch with anyone on the board. They're all nice, very friendly, and hopefully we'll have some interesting new members pretty soon. Dear listeners, until next time.